Good morning. The Josephine County Board of Commissioners weekly business session for May 4th, 2016 is underway. And as we normally do, if we'll stand and pledge allegiance to the flag, that'd be great.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for being here, and there's a certain contingent of our community that is really happy that there's nobody at the shop. So it's we begin our first order of the day and the recognition of employees. Stephen Monroe is being awarded a 10-year pin for his 10 years of service to the county and working with some sometimes difficult but sometimes rewarding folks. And Stephen, if you will come and receive this pin, I would be very appreciative, and it also allow you a couple of moments if you have anything that you'd like to say. And if not, we'll sick your boss on you and have him say something. So.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Two of us.
I have a little secret to share. This wasn't about a job or a career. It was about my life. And if it's emotional, because it's real. 10 years ago, I didn't even think I deserved to be here. But these people back here showed me, by nurturing and supporting me, that I did belong. And I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for them mentoring me and showing me how to live a life. I am so proud to be of service to this county and to my agency. I'm proud to be a part of them. Each day I watch them show up for work, take care of their families, and do the best job they could do to support this county. And that's why I'm successful today, 10 years here. So in closing, I like to say this. I have something for them. I have a pen, but I have something for them. If I can ask Denise Olson to come up really quick. And I want to give her this coin to represent the agency of them 10 years of surviving me. So you guys are recovering.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You put a very eloquent twist on the idea that it does take a group. It takes a community in that sense to make anything work. And in that particular position that you all are in, nobody succeeds individually. Everybody succeeds corporately, but as you work hard individually, but then the whole corpus rises, and you're a good testimony to that. So thank you all for what you do, and oftentimes unsung, unappreciated, and the only time you really get real notice is when you screw up in some way, and then everybody's on your back like a tick on a dog. But but do appreciate the diligence that you work and the teamwork that you have and the esprit de corps that you demonstrate over there. It's very encouraging for us as community citizens and county members. So thank you again, and appreciate your diligence and putting up with the head that we have appointed. But you have to make some sacrifices to be successful. So thank you, Nate. On to number two. If you can make this big exit, and we'll thank you for what you're doing. Okay, on to the number two on the agenda. That's the most we've ever had from any one department show up, and that was neat. So. On to number two. Request from citizens. If you have anything that you'd like to address to the board. Now is the time to do so. Just simply come up to the podium, give your name, address, not necessarily the street address, but where you live, and then 3 minutes is your time to address us with anything that you would care to say. So if you want to, don't know where to start, I'm going to do this. We'll start with Dale.
Thank you.
Dale Matthews Grants Pass. When Ford first started selling vehicles to communist China, they had to get the permission from the State Department, who warned them that they might turn them into military vehicles. They did, and the Chinese then abrogated their contract and stole all the technology. When Hummer, which is the civilian version of a Humvee, got permission from the State Department to sell some business secrets to the Chinese, they abrogated their contract, they stole the technology, and they're making military vehicles. The State Department now says, and especially the intelligence community says, that communist Chinese and their army are the biggest threat to America that there is. They're in a constant daily battle to grab up all the information they can from our companies and to burrow in and to try to turn off technology, like power technology and et cetera. They are a real and present danger to this country. So what relationship does that have to us here locally? Well, when we're looking at our strategic reserves in this county, and we're looking at the lumber that we sell to China, and we're looking at our location on the highway, there are a number of things to bring us to the attention of any government in the world. We have current leadership who was forced into the military and then came out saying that the Pledge of Allegiance is repetitive. We've got me. I'm an active service captain. I do search and rescue. And on my flight suit is a flag that has a gold border around it. And active duty people know what that means. And we've got someone that would like to be a military, like to be a community leader here that sells American military technology to the communist Chinese army. The State Department has approved that, or did. And this is a person who feels that America's military technology for profit should end up in the pocket of the communist Chinese army. I don't approve. I don't think that kind of person should be made into a leader in this community. I'm not very pleased with the leaders that we have now. But we do have a choice in front of us, and we're going to decide where we want to go. And so, if you want to follow this lead right here, go ahead.
Anybody else on this side? Yes, Judy.
Good morning. Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. First, I want to mention with how the nation's going in the counties and the cities that we sure need a National Day of Prayer, and we have it. We've had one for 25 years, and tomorrow, and I'll give you folks, two of you there, Awake America. So on the steps of the county here at, I believe it's going to be at noon to 1 o'clock, we're going to have that. And I just so encourage anybody watching, listening, anybody in the, it'll be at noon, so even employees could probably join in, county employees, to this National Day of Prayer. And I think it'll be heart-lifting. It'll change our hearts. We change our hearts, we change our county, and I think good things will happen in our community. So I'll leave you with this Wake America for this National Day of Prayer tomorrow. I encourage all elected officials or even candidates to come to that. Really important day for not our nation, which is going to happen in every county and stuff in the nation, but here in Josephine County. Two, I want to bring up, we have a problem with executives with Target. And I'm not sure, I haven't been the ones here, I choose not to, but American Family Radio, over a million signatures now to say not to shop at Target, because right now the bathrooms are pretty dangerous. I don't know about in this county, but I know it's got a really big problem. If you have any questions about that, I would be glad to answer. Otherwise, go on AmericanFamilyRadio.net, and you'll find out the really dangerous problems we're having now with bathrooms at Target. Another thing I'd like to bring up regarding the budget. I understand with Patty Goodman in the latest budget review, item you had. I think we got over $1.5 million, I understand. And she indicated to put it into public safety and public works, since people wanted it all to go into. She had some great ideas, and I'm very saddened that elected officials and people on committee are still rejecting her wonderful idea. But if that's the case and we don't need it, this is my assumption, and I have to have this assumption, that we do not have a safety issue in this community. We can't. I don't care what Courier says or what the other radio says or some officials or whatever. We must not, obviously, have a public safety issue, because if we did, that would be a priority, like we have priority with our kids' education, this, no goodies, unless we get the education or whatever, all the things that we can look in on private light. So I just hope that myth goes away and more people will come to our county. We won't put scare things, because they have to understand that if we're not putting money towards public safety, if we need more assistant sheriffs, et cetera, assistant deputies, that since even Dave Daniels didn't bring the issue up at these meetings, then he must be telling me and the public and the community of citizens, this is really a safe place to live. And by gosh, that's a good thing. So that is good news today. Thank you.
Anybody else on this side? Move it across the aisle. Sandy in the back, and then Larry.
Sandy Casanelli, Merlin, Oregon. I would like to make a request of the commissioners here that you give me, you can email it to me, so that the public can know how much Title I money was put into the Road Reserve Fund for Public Works since the House Bill 4175 was enacted in 2012. And I also, I know you cannot talk about the budget session, but you can listen to what the public has to say. I, again, want to commend Peggy Goodwin for getting up and making the suggestion, since the budget committee would not give additional money to the sheriff's department. I commend her for asking that $1.5 million be put into a separate fund that can be utilized during an emergency from both public works and public safety. You're saying that there is a shortfall coming next year, and it would be nice to have reserve money for the sheriff in the event that we don't get SRS payments. I don't believe that it will be cut off and not renewed, because the federal government has a contractual obligation to us by law to give us money. And there's been a long history of them fulfilling some kind of obligation, even though it's been in a dwindling amount. So please consider putting that money in a separate account for both public works and public safety emergencies. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have a question before Ms. Casanelli leaves. I'm very interested in the ONC issue, and you mentioned something that's kind of new to me, mm-hmm. the contractual obligation mm-hmm. by the federal government to give right. us money.
Yes.
Can
the
you help 19, me out with that?
1937 ONC Act.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people across the nation who are fighting the issue. There is Paul Gosar.
No, I'm just really interested
Arizona.
In that, the 1937 Act.
ONC Act.
ONC Act.
I Correct.
Mean, I've read it. It's only like 3 pages. It's not very long.
Correct.
There's no mention of actually contributing funds to the county. It just has the minimum board feet of 500
Correct.
Million board feet or sustained yield.
Correct.
And so I just wonder where that, I understand that there's a degree of separation. You're not mm-hmm. getting the 500 million board feet a year.
Right.
And I don't want to get into a debate, but if
right.
you have something that's,
okay.
that's outside of what my understanding is in the ONC
okay.
Act that actually spells out like a dollar figure, or that, because I'm looking, I mean, we've been looking for that, and there really isn't anything that I'm aware of.
Well, all you have to do is AOC or ONC counties will have that pretty much information, because they're the ones that accepted the deal for taking money rather than having the ONC parameters met.
Maybe we can talk about this offline.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But my understanding, just for clarification, is that there isn't any specific law that dictates Congress, the federal government, just so everyone's clear, cut us a check. So we don't need to debate this right now. But
$12 million was the standard that Josephine County got in the cut, and I guess it was 2008 or whatever it was. And so they've been dwindling ever since. But it's the same law that says, you know, why did they do that? Why did they give us the SRS payments to begin with?
Okay.
So it's just going to take a research. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. On this side over here, Larry, and then anybody else want to? Guess not.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass.
Mr. Ford, can you hold for a second? I'm having trouble hearing you.
I can holler louder. If they're city, they probably won't pay any attention. But
you think, yeah. Because they got the truck parked in county land. So.
Yeah.
You're going to flatten the tires.
I could do that. We could do that.
And we did have a conversation with them, too, about this very thing.
Yeah. See, they're listening. They're paying attention.
Guy's up in a tree, and I appreciate he's got one cut left. And so I said, rather than go up, climb down, the efficiency, he's already there. So
yeah.
Power through it, and we'll.
That's fine. A couple of things. First, about the ONC, I agree with you, Commissioner Herr. There is no allocation to fund the county. The allocation is to cut timber, which not only provides money for services in our ONC counties, it provides jobs. And that is probably the most important part of it. It provides living wage jobs for people in the ONC counties. And that's been cut off since at least the 70s. It started dwindling in the 70s and was cut off sometime probably in the 80s. The worst thing I believe the county ever did was accept those payments in lieu of cutting timber. So I think we need to reverse that and go back to sustainably yield and you know, harvesting timber in a logical manner to provide jobs for our county constituents and for the counties to run. Second thing is, I got the minutes of for the upcoming RV Act meeting, and it reminds me again just how insignificant we are in Josephine County in that act. They have a quorum without us. And now they're putting in the STIP cycle. It's more important to put a bicycle path between Medford and Rogue River than it is, or equally as important as our transfer station for our bus system to get it off of 6th Street. And secondly, to repair a road over in Jackson County that is in much need of you know, being an improved road. It's a danger now. But we have people on that RV Act that want to commit money to a bicycle path rather than the two projects that I believe are the most important and should be done first. I'm sure there's going to be 15,000 bicycles use that path as soon as it's completed every day. No. So I think we need to look at the RV Act money and in that STIP cycle and where it provides the best use and the best use for the safety. I mean, let's face it, this bus station out here, this transfer point gets more congested. As we build ridership, there's more buses trying to use this limited space. And we're looking at being 3 years out to change it if we go through the STIP cycle. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I believe in the inevitably we're going to have to go to our state legislature and try to split RV Act, Josephine and Jackson County, and split them. I just don't see any other way for us to put, you know, the money that we do get, the small amount we do get, to the projects that we feel are the most important for the citizens of Josephine County. Thank you.
Anybody else on this side? Going across, last shot. Okay, bring it back to the board. You want to comment?
I think I made my clarifications on Ms. Casanelli's statements. I think the underlying premise is that she's interested in some sort of compensation. If you remove our ability to harvest timber, then they ought to compensate us. One of the things that I think we've, when accepting that money, we have undermined our ability to show standing and that we've been aggrieved when we litigate the BLM over their resource management plan. And that's a serious consideration that, you know, you could go before a judge and say we've been aggrieved or we've been aggrieved by this plan. And they say, but you're getting a check every year, you know, for millions of dollars, and we get the lion's share of secure rural schools. How can you say that you're, you know? But I think what your point, Mr. Ford, was saying, that the jobs is actually should be a greater consideration for our community. I think you said living wage jobs, not minimum wage jobs, and that's absolutely the case. There was a LA Times article that really was revealing to the community of the Illinois Valley, but really Josephine County and Southern Oregon as a whole, the things that people don't even think about when Rough and Ready is no longer in operation, we're a southern dry side on the west side, kind of a forest down here, which is predominantly probably mixed of fir and pine. There's no market for pine anymore without Rough and Ready. There may be in the future with the cross-laminate technology timbers. They'll put that stuff in the middle. They'll bury beautiful pine wood, and instead of what Rough and Ready did was turn it into a high-value commodity that was kind of a niche market. And that's a real shortcoming for small woodlot owners in this area. But I think one of the reasons that the main focus for me in my ONC advocacy or litigation is not the shared receipts so much as the jobs that it brings locally. And that provides an economy that most people don't even see, but it's here. It employs tons more people than are just working in the woods. It's mechanics, it's hydraulic stuff, it's salespeople who help that whole industry, and it's huge. So I don't think her point was bad. It was just a little bit off from my, I think, my focus. Ms. Ahrens, I think we're going to address your budgetary concerns as well as Ms. Cassinelli's at the budget meeting. We shouldn't do that or deliberate on those issues here. And I will mention that in Mr. Matthews' comments about, I think there was something specific about taking natural resources and selling them overseas. It's really important for everybody to understand that federal timber cannot be sold as raw logs internationally. They have to be processed locally. And even if you are a woodlot owner, say Rough and Ready, they own timberlands, they can't market their private timber internationally if they're buying federal wood. So there's a lot of regulations around that that whole process and industry that people may not know or kind of take for granted. So those are my comments on the comments.
Okay. Just a couple of responding to Mr. Matthews, which I very rarely do, but your comments about I'm assuming that I was forced into this Marine Corps is right. My probation officer worked a deal, and I went in for 4 years. And also to know that in 4 years' time, I received an honorable discharge from the United States Marine Corps. To equate the Civil Air Patrol with the United States Marine Corps is, well, I'll just let that one go. I've also been notified by the commander of the Civil Air Patrol that if you ever used out of your mouth the word Civil Air Patrol, that you were in somehow, in, you are listed as a 4-0, which means you cannot be, they don't want you. And so I will notify them again, and they will do whatever they're going to do. To think that you will somehow commend yourself for being a member of the Civil Air Patrol, like that's somehow commendable, you're not. They don't want you, and they have listed you. They have listed you that way.
They have not.
Pardon me, Mr. Matthews.
No, you're not pardoned.
Do you want to leave? Do you want to keep intruding on my time when I did not intrude on yours? So, okay, I'm taking that you're going to keep quiet. But I will notify them, and we'll let them resolve the issue between the local and the state issue. Such it is. That's all I have to say on that. If anything else, or we'll move on. Okay, let's move on to the approval of the consent calendar, the only items we have on the agenda today. We don't have any administrative calendar. We have several items on the approval of the consent calendar having to do with minutes. the County Administration Workshop on April 13th, Executive Session Minutes, Open Session, April 13th, the Weekly Business Session on April 13th, the General Discussion on April 19th, General Discussion April 26th, and the Weekly Business Session on April 27th, all of 2016. We also have a request for position change, reassignment, which is having to do with the Public Health Department and the County Financial. One of the individuals working with Public Health resigned and took a different job in the community, commending her for what she's been able to do. But that allowed an opportunity for the finance area of the County Public Health to become more accountable in that sense. And so it is coming over to the finance department to be able to administer the financial processing. And Mr. O'Hare is seeing that and looking forward to doing it. And it should be a much smoother operation between the public health and the county. Resolution number 2016-035, appointing a member to the Josephine Housing and Community, Josephine County Community Housing Development, there we go. And we have several, it was really encouraging to have several people respond to this. And, but an individual was named, and I'm trying to find the individual. I have the negative individual, Cherie Colon, I think is the proper pronunciation of her first name, the tenant representative, and she will be appointed for a term expiring on April 16th of 2018. And then we also have a resolution 2016-036 that rescinds the 2016-027 resolution in the matter of rescinding resolution 2016-027, an appointment to the Josephine Housing and Community Development Council. And that is a one where we appointed Don Moore to serve on this Josephine Housing and Community Development Council. And there arose in a process, as the sometimes the federal rules can be rather far-stretched, and there was a situation that it involved the federal rules, and that was the only thing we could do about it. And there's nothing that could be done. It's no egregious thing, but it's just if you have anybody in your family that is somehow receiving monies from any kind of housing, then you are automatically disqualified from this position. And that was basically the process that happened here with Mr. Moore. And he has reluctantly agreed to resigning and reluctantly accept his resignation. Then in the resolution number 2016-036, the appointment...
Seven.
We have four folks that are being appointed to the Josephine County Mental Health Advisory Board, and those four folks are Kathy Santry. She is a retired nurse, and be happy to have her there. They've all come to the meetings, and everybody has met and interviewed them. Teresa Santucci, who is involved with a housing issue, and John Chambers, who has been, as an at-large representative, John has been involved with this board for a number of years, so he's very familiar with what they're doing. And then also Robert Cornett, who is a very active older folk, and he's an interesting character, but it's a delight to have on the board. And he, too, has been very active in coming to different meetings and having good input. And so those are the folks that are going to be appointed, terms expiring May 4th of 2020.
Move for approval of the consent calendar items 3A through E.
Moved. I'll second that. Been moved and seconded. Any other comment?
I just wanted to make a comment that item B, the request for position change,
yes,
and reassignment, is a savings of $200 from the previous budgeted position. And I think they will be responsible for grant facilitation and tracking outside of public health as well. So it's a consolidation and an expansion of duties, and it should serve the county really well to have centralized grant accounting done in our finance office. So it should be seamless. It should be really, really good.
In addition to serving the county well, it also, I believe, will serve public health,
yes,
well,
yes,
in the sense of having a univoice to deal with these issues rather than a split voice. Been moved and seconded. Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Harris.
Yes.
Yes. So the motion was passed unanimously. On to number four. Do you have any other issues?
I do not.
On to number five, then. Any matters from commissioners?
No.
Well, I'll be schnookered. It is 9:30 in the morning, and this meeting is adjourned.